Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation yourself. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much for watching over us, Lord. We just pray that you bless the program. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement. Help us to point people to Christ through things we talk about today. Use us for your glory, we pray. And we just thank you for the opportunities. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And I'm telling you, I got to get a picture up on my page here, Facebook or website for the radio program. Of course, you can always find our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link from there to our Facebook page for the program as well. And I got to get a picture up there, I think, of my thermometer from this morning. Last I looked, this was March, not January. March the 6th, not January the 6th, but I think January the 6th was absolutely a lot warmer than March the 6th was. I don't know about February the 6th. We had just awful cold weather in February, but I had minus 10 on my thermometer this morning. That's not with the wind chill. And of course, I always preface that with the idea that, or the fact that I live in a little valley, so cold air sinks down. But even so, it was at 8 below zero, I think, at 1 o'clock this morning, and an hour after midnight there. And it was at 10 below when I got up this morning, and it was there till almost 8 o'clock before the thermometer started coming up. That's just plain cold. So much for global warming. And I did post on the Facebook page a clip from, I think it's 1972, when Walter Cronkite, those of you who remember Walter Cronkite, he supposedly was the most trusted man in the news business, and he was talking about the coming ice age. And I think they're going to change from global warming to the coming ice age one of these days. It keeps this up. Anyway, let's get back to some other things here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And also wanted to thank those of you who have been praying for my dad. Some of you know that. Some of you know my dad. He slipped on the ice last Tuesday and broke his hip. And he is in the hospital resting comfortably. They did the hip replacement surgery yesterday, and very happy with how he's doing, and optimistic that in about 2 weeks after rehab and everything, he should be home. So I appreciate your prayers for him, it certainly, when you have somebody who's older, he's 87 years old, but he's been fairly active all his life, still is, thankfully, it's an answer to prayer. God was watching over him, and God certainly answering the prayers. A number of people have been praying for him, praying for his surgery, praying for his recovery. And so again, I do want to thank you for all of you who have been praying for him. God answers prayer, and we certainly praise the Lord for the healing that we've been seeing there. All right. Well, I'm going to get into a couple of things here, and of course, we got a telephone call coming in, so I may take that first, but I do want to point you to our website, livewithpastoral.com. I try to keep some information there and linking to our Facebook page. You can go there from that and like us on Facebook, and you can keep track on some of the articles and different things that I post there. And if I can get my computer here to, there it goes. I was going to mention a couple of things there that I was going to get into here as time permits. Pray for the situation in the Middle East. Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, was speaking here in the United States earlier this week, and a tremendous speech. Unfortunately, due to all the things going on with my dad, I haven't had a chance to listen to the entire thing, and I've heard bits and pieces of it. I want to sit down and listen, watch the entire speech, but do pray for that part of the world. The Iranians renewed their vow to annihilate Israel. There was a recent interview between Ann Curry of, I believe she's with NBC, and she was interviewing, I believe it's Javed Zarif, in Iran. He's the Iranian foreign minister. And I guess he was actually here in the States sitting down with her. And he basically reiterated the fact that the Netanyahu regime should be annihilated. And she was questioning him about the Iranian desire to annihilate the regime of Israel. And he said this, it should be annihilated. This regime is a threat, And so he reiterated, it should be annihilated. And this is the same country that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, was trying to alert people in this country that this is a threat to Israel's very existence. Of course, you believe the Bible, you know that God has a plan for Israel. They won't be destroyed. Iran, on the other hand, if you read Ezekiel chapter 38, it doesn't fare as well as Israel does in Bible prophecy. However, it doesn't stop Iran from trying. And Iran has also stated in more than one occasion that they think that the United States should be destroyed already. And we have an administration that seems bound and determined to allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons. They already have the means of delivering them to Israel, Europe, and the United States of America. They recently, last year or so, put up a satellite in orbit and different things like that. If you can put something into space and orbit the Earth, you can hit anywhere on the planet with a nuclear weapon, basically. But pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and pray that God would open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of our leaders in our country, that they would turn back, that our country would turn back to God and His Word. Well, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and I have George on the line here. And George, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to hear from you today.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've got a question here.
All right, sir.
When Jesus was talking with the Pharisees, and he said to render unto Caesar what belonged to Caesar, render unto
right.
God what belonged to God.
Uh-huh.
Okay, who is Caesar?
Well, let's take a peek here in Luke chapter 20. Excuse me. In Luke chapter 20, Jesus is talking to them, and part of the key in understanding the context is understanding that the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Jewish leaders were trying to find ways to trip Jesus up. They were trying to come up with reasons to get the people upset with him, and also to get the Roman government upset with them. And this comes in the context of that, and it says in Luke 20, verse 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men. In other words, they were going to pretend to be disciples, that they might take hold of his word so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. So in this particular case, they're trying to get him to be accused of something, you know, treasonous or something like that, so that the Roman government would do their dirty work, because they'd already, you know, got together, and they were trying to figure out ways to shut him up and to destroy him. And so this is when they said, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? And they're talking about, was it lawful for them to pay taxes to the Roman government? And of course, the head of the Roman government was Caesar. And in this time frame, we have when the Caesars actually declared themselves to be gods. And one of the reasons that the Christians were persecuted in the early days by the Roman government was because they refused to acknowledge Caesar as God. They would have been tolerated. They could accept Caesar as God. They could worship any other gods they wanted to. But since they would not accept Caesar as God, they weren't tolerated. But so they asked him, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or no? Pay taxes to the Roman government. And remember, the Roman government was not a godly government by any means. Steeped in paganism, they were brutal. They were ruthless in many things. They killed babies. You know, people say, "Well, I don't want to pay taxes to our government because of abortion and all." Well, in ancient Rome, I can remember hearing somebody one time talk about a letter from a Roman soldier to his wife back home. It was about the time of Christ. He said she was expecting a child. He said, "If it's a boy, that would be great. If it's a girl, take her, take the baby down to the commons and just leave it there." You know, that was the way that they viewed things in a Roman government. And the Bible says in Luke 20 and verse 23, "But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Shew me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar, and unto God the things which be God's." And with that one statement there, he outsmarted them, which, you know, this is God speaking, so that's to be expected. But he did show that, yes, there's human government, there's human earthly rulers that have authority. And render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's would correspond to other teaching in the New Testament about being in subjection to human authority where it's needful, but also render unto God the things which are God's, meaning, remember, we also have a higher authority, and that's God. And a very definite division between human government or human authority and God's authority there. Did you have something a little more that you were looking at with that?
Well, I was just, my line of thinking was when he said Caesar,
mm-hmm.
like, well, let's say the utility bills we pay.
Right.
Wouldn't that be Caesar?
No, your tax bill would be Caesar. Because your utility bill, you know, the electric company, gas company, things like that, you know, that's not, you know, government. Those are private companies. But when you pay taxes, remember that it's the tax money. It's the government that maintains the roads, picks up your trash, usually in most places, provides police, fire, and rescue services, paramedics, things of that nature. Run the courts, operate the military for the safekeeping of our country. We have a lot of things that government does for us. Just like in Jesus' day, the Romans, brutal as they were, they had there was a form of peace that people had that enabled Paul, for instance, to travel from Israel, Jerusalem, all the way to Rome and all around in the Middle East there and into parts of Europe freely. He was able to do that because the Roman government had a rule that established a certain level of peace. They built roads. They coined money. They provided for some basic laws that, for instance, even Paul had at one point appealed on the basis of his Roman citizenship to keep from being tried and beaten unjustly, and even appealed to go to Caesar's seat to make his appeal before Caesar in Rome, and he was granted that. So the Roman government provided a lot of good things that they benefited from. And so, you know, we benefit from them. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." So we benefit from, you know, the roads. We benefit from the military. We benefit from the fact that the government coins money. I suppose you could argue they coin too much money, but we like to complain about government, but you know, amazing thing is, at least here in the United States today, we have the freedom to complain about government, and part of that is because of our form of government.
Right. Well, then yeah. Property tax would be Caesar, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would, because that goes to the government. And
that's it.
Much as we complain, remember, Peter was asked one time if Jesus paid taxes, and he went and asked Jesus about it, and Jesus said, well, Peter, go down to the river, throw in a hook, you know, an angle, it says in the King James Bible, that's a hook, and he says, and catch a fish. I wish I could pay my taxes this way. And he said, catch a fish. When you open the fish's mouth, you'll find some money in it. Go pay your taxes and my taxes with it. Now I've never I've never found money in a mouth of a fish. I can remember one time I caught a bluegill, and as I was reeling him in, a largemouth bass chomped on him, and I reeled in a bass with a bluegill in his mouth, but not money. I wish I could go down and get money that way to pay my taxes. But
well, it would be nice if we could do that.
Yeah.
But now Peter did find the money in the fish's mouth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was
all
just
right.
Like Jesus said. He went and paid the taxes. And you know, we do have the authority of human government. Romans chapter, chapter 13, I think it is. Let's see here. Romans chapter 13, it talks about government officials.
Right.
And, you know, as much as we, I mean, it's the American pastime, isn't it, to complain about whoever's elected to whatever office? It's all we do. I always wonder, why would anybody want to run for elected office? Because, you know, everybody's going to complain about anything you do. But, In Romans 13, talking about government officials, it says in verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, which means that he's operating in an office that God has allowed him to be in. And he, that government official, whether they're saved or not, they have a responsibility to God, because he said he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. And then he says, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. So again, reinforcing the idea of paying taxes. Now, I understand there are times when we have to disobey government officials, when it conflicts with God's law, and that's not where I'm going with this. But if you think about it, you know, people say, well, if a government official is a minister of God, let's pick somebody that I think everybody would acknowledge was evil, and that would be Hitler when he ruled over Germany, you know, during the Nazi regime there and all of that. Everybody, I think, would acknowledge Hitler was an evil man. But yet, the Bible said he was a minister of God, but he was supposed to do good. He didn't. Hitler, when he stands before God, when he arrived before God, he had to give an account of how he violated the trust that God had put him in, or given to him. And I don't think Hitler could give a good account of that.
And when God says in Romans 13 that the... people that has authority over you.
Right.
Okay, but now if you put the wrong people up there, then you still have to be obedient to those people, don't you?
Unless they tell you to disobey God.
That's where
the difference comes. Let me give you an example. When I was in the Air Force, I don't know, were you in the military by chance?
No,
okay.
I was not.
Well, if you were, you would understand a little easier what I was saying. In the military, you operate under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and in that, you're obligated to obey lawful orders, but you're also obligated under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, if a commanding officer gives you an unlawful order, you are obligated to disobey that order. See? So they recognize that though your commanding officer has authority over you, the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the United States supersede his authority. And so that's the analogy that I'm drawing here. We have obligation to those in authority over us, but we also recognize that God's law, the Word of God, the Bible, and God himself, his commandments, they supersede man's law. And so we obey lawful orders. You see where I'm going? But we're also obligated to disobey unlawful orders.
Okay.
And that's where kind of the difference comes. That's why the disciples, when they were commanded by the legal authorities of their day not to teach or preach in the name of Christ, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, keep in mind, if you're going to disobey the law of man, you have to be prepared to pay the price for violating the law of man. But I would rather pay for violating the law of man than violate God's law.
That's it.
Exactly.
I would too.
Yeah, so you see the principle there. Man's authority is not supreme. It's delegated authority by God, and if a government official, and we can take that from the president all the way down to the clerk at the post office, you know, because they work for the government too,
right.
You know, or the policeman, the person in the military, you know, anybody that carries the authority of government, the IRS agent, they're all obligated to use their authority for good. And when they don't, they run afoul of God's law. They're going to be answerable to God. And if they're not saved, when they stand before God, their violation of God's law, their violation of the authority that God entrusted to them in their position, they're going to be accountable for that. And they're going to, you know, be punished accordingly for that violation of God's law, God's authority that he gave them. And that's why if somebody is serving in governmental position, whether it's a local government, state government, county government, or federal government, anything in between, they need to remember, especially if you're saved, you have a holy obligation to use that position for good and to accomplish that which is right, not the other way around. And I think there's a lot of people who have served in government positions who are going to be awful surprised when they stand before the Lord to give an account of what they did.
So. All right. Pastor Al, it's certainly been a pleasure listening to you.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate
the call. I just love the way you expound on the Scripture.
Well, thank you. I sometimes I feel like I just, you know, you get me wound up and I get going. I'll bring stuff in case nobody calls, but I always think the program's better when somebody calls and gets me started on some subject.
Oh, yeah, I like that, too.
I enjoy it, and I enjoyed this call because, you know, this is something that tax time's coming up, and we're always hearing people saying, oh, you shouldn't pay taxes. The government uses it for bad, and that is true, but then I always come back to the fact, well, why did Jesus tell Peter to go catch a fish and open his mouth and go pay taxes?
That's it.
And why did Paul say, you know, to pay tribute to the government ministers? You know, yeah, they use it for a lot of bad things. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can look at from your local government all the way up to the federal government. They really waste a lot of our money, don't they? But at the same time, we do get some good from them. And we pray for people. We pray for government officials. If they're not saved, we pray that they get saved. And if they are saved, we pray that they let God direct them in their conduct of their office. And I think we'd be a lot better off if we had more saved people serving in government asking God what he'd have them to do, rather than going by their own pocketbook and their own desire for power and money. So,
I think, too, Pastor Al, when these candidates be campaigning, then we don't check to see, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
You know, we just go by what they tell us.
Right.
I'm going to do this when I get in Washington.
Yeah.
Well, if he's not a Christian, he's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Got to get into them, their background, and get involved in the primaries. Hey, I'm out of time here. I want to thank you for the call, George.
Yay,
appreciate that.
All right.
Keep praying.
Yes,
and
sir.
Get involved and dig into those candidates' backgrounds. Primaries are coming up next year. Hey, God bless. I want to thank you for listening. Join us again next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.